A new study from the National Academy suggests a new and different future for the State Department, one in which science and technology are infused into diplomacy and statecraft. The authors say several rival nations are ahead of the United States when it comes to merging these disciplines. For more, we turn to Thomas Pickering, former Undersecretary of State and one of the co-chairs of the Committee on Science and Technology Capabilities at the State Department. Ambassador Pickering, great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. Nice to be with you.
I guess calling you former undersecretary really doesn't do justice to your resume, but we are glad to have you on. So give us the genesis of this rather large report. Who first requested it? How did it come to be?
About 3 years ago, Robert Hormats, who was then undersecretary to deal with economic science and technology questions, asked the National Academy of Science if they'd undertake this report and would look at a number of specific questions that he had in mind. It's a report that follows in a series, so it isn't a new report in a sense that it was an original idea, but it is a serious updating report.
Okay, so tell us exactly how science and technology does figure into diplomacy as we move into the future.
There's a rare diplomatic event that doesn't have a science and technology quotient. Everything from cooperation directly in science and technology with foreign states, which are part of about 60 agreements that the United States has, to negotiations on such sensitive and difficult subjects as the next major multilateral trade arrangement, or indeed Iran on its nuclear program, have enormous science and technology content. And obviously, those people who are engaged need to be literate. They need to understand the scientific issues very well because they're going to have to make agreements and carry them out on the part of the United States in which the science and technology is both a determining factor, but not only that, a knowledge of science and technology can help overcome obstacles and bring about the kind of constructive compromises that make good agreements.
So is one of the implicit understandings in this report perhaps that there needs to be more of that type of skill and knowledge in the State Department?
Yes, we think there should be more scientific literacy, although there is quite a bit already. But we've encouraged, for example, more training of Foreign Service officers in these areas. There are now about 60 or 70 overseas positions that deal essentially with the environment, science, and technology and related questions. Many of those are much sought after. And there are people entering the State Department, the Foreign Service, with scientific degrees, all of which we can take advantage of.
And in the early parts of the report, it states that the internet has really become a huge factor in the way nations operate and the ability of people at the ground level to get all sorts of information. Thinking back to your days of dealing with El Salvador and Israel and the United Nations, going back quite a number of years, how are things different in light of the complete ubiquity of the internet that really wasn't there even as late as 10 years ago?
Well, it's a huge factor. Tom, I was the Assistant Secretary for Oceans, Environment, and Science back at the end of the 70s and the beginning of the 80s. And it was an enormously interesting job, but we relied essentially on what you and I would call paper files and hand operations and traditional and telegraphic communications in those days. And so it was more often walking down the hall and meeting a colleague and talking that rather than being able to communicate with colleagues all around the world rapidly on the internet that made a difference. It was looking up data and researching it rather than being able to use the enormous facilities of the internet rapidly to recover interesting data. And so that speeded up, changed, and indeed improved the capacity of a department of government like the State Department to work in this area, but it's improved its capacity to deal with other mission agencies of the government, much of whose primary work is to sponsor either scientific research or scientific cooperation overseas. So we're in a whole of government world as well, and the internet helps to promote that. So almost everything we touch or everything we do now has some kind of facilitation by the internet capacities across a broad spectrum of activities, unfortunately including bad stuff like hacking and cyber intervention by other parties that obviously we and others have to work to prevent.
Now, the report says that other nations are already ahead of the United States in the way that they use science and technology and diplomacy. Who are some of them and what do they do?
Some of them are the obvious ones. The EU, our friends in India, in China, and in Russia, they all have very high interest in this. Some of them are in a catch-up mode and would like to use the process of exchanges to learn more about what other people are doing and how they're doing it. India, and particularly over the years, has had science and technology, particularly at times when we had poor relations with India, as a mainstay of our relationship with the country. And it was seen by the Indians, as well as the United States, as a very important factor in our bilateral relationship. That's still there, but obviously the rapid changes in our relationship with India, beginning in the mid-1990s, has meant that much more now has been added in to the U.S.-India equation. China, in much the same way, has followed that same source of progression. We have a lot to learn from other countries as well as they from us, although we are preeminently, I think, still the world's major science mover and shaker in many fields. And obviously, our diplomatic capacities are reinforced by people's respect for our science. They're interested in knowing more about how we're doing science. And science, interestingly enough, itself has always lent itself to collaboration, and people exchange ideas and papers around the world. Scientific institutes often compete in attacking similar problems, but they often also help each other understand what the new developments are and where the new directions are going. So the best of science is transparent and open, indeed obviously subject to peer review testing, and the international world lends itself to that. And diplomacy fits in with that because of the factors I've mentioned.
We're speaking with Thomas Pickering, former Undersecretary of State and one of the co-chairs of the Committee on Science and Technology Capabilities at the Department of State. And so what are some of the specific recommendations that you have for state? What can they do right now to get more of this involved?
Building on the back of earlier reports prepared some 10 years ago, and going back to the time of the 70s when we created a bureau in the State Department to deal with science and environment and oceans questions and beyond. And what we are suggesting here is that the Secretary continue to take the lead in helping to set the agenda for the State Department for science, that science ought to help the State Department begin to move into an area where we believed it needs some additional work. And that's applying longer-term thinking and foresightedness, if we can call it that, to the work of the department. And we've suggested that the policy planning people and the experts in science in the State Department, there is a science advisor as well as an assistant secretary for oceans and science, collaborate in doing this and then begin to see whether, in fact, that collaboration can lead to further useful work. We've suggested the establishment, it's a reestablishment of a very high-quality science and technology advisory board for the secretary that would draw on the U.S. expertise at very high level. We continue to have annually three or four Nobel Prize winners, for example, in this country, who are a huge resource and could be very, very important in moving the question again, moving the question ahead. I think that we have suggested that the State Department and the United States Agency for International Development, which work in close collaboration, do a stronger job in allocating funds for scientific engagement and for the work that's necessary to improve their own science and technology capacities. And then finally, there are something like 27 recommendations. We won't go through them all. But finally, we've recommended that out in the embassies, in what we call the field, we look at assigning a few more top-level people who have a real scientific backing and knowledge and reputation to be counselors in our embassy. That's a high-level embassy official to work with foreign governments on science and technology activities. And so these are a few of the things that we have put on the table to suggest to the State Department.
And of course, we know that this administration is pretty struck and taken by Silicon Valley and have brought a lot of people to work in the administration. It seems like that would be a good way to maybe attract some other talent that might be interested in switching from their internet and software knowledge to diplomacy.
You're right, Tom. And the idea here is that a number of these people might come and work for a time. They may not have to leave their own profession, but we could draw on their skills and activities. And one of the programs this administration has put in is to draw on top-level scientists to work for a year or two, to visit a few countries where they're well-known, to reestablish and strengthen contacts. And we've recommended that that particular program be reinforced and strengthened and perhaps have stronger follow-through than it does. The State Department enjoys and has had a long time collaborative relations for the American Association for the Advancement of Science in recruiting interns, postdocs, who can come and work in the State Department for a few years, get a sense of where the intersection of their own science work and the foreign policy of the United States meet and help us with those. And that's been an enormously valuable program. And a group of more advanced science, because this is called Thomas Jefferson Fellows, have been in the State Department. We recommend strengthening and improving those particular sets of activities.
And something you implied earlier, and I think we should probably state, is that even when we have big problems with nations like Russia or China, at the scientific level, there's often very friendly cooperation going on below the surface.
There is very much, and it's been a continuing portion of activity because there is mutual interest. And it serves as a mainstay, as I pointed out, in India when in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, India was sort of tossed between the Soviet Union and the United States and didn't want to become a hard, fast ally of either one, that American science capacities were highly respected by Indians, proved to be very useful in India's own scientific development for its own national development, and were highly valued. And as a result, that esteem and that value kept open an important door between the United States and India.
And finally, any reaction yet from the State Department itself?
Yes, I think that they've accepted the report as being very useful. The report is always done where we, after 6 months of study, send the secretary a letter saying, Mr. Secretary, you've asked for this report. Here are our initial findings. So they've been with us all the way. Many, many interviews have taken place with senior State Department and other individuals all around the network that deals with this issue, including, of course, many other government agencies that work in collaboration with states. And so Mr. Hormant's successor, he's left and gone on, Kathy Novelli, has received us, has told us that she believes the report is very valuable and that they intend to study and go ahead and implement the recommendations. And a number of these ideas and thoughts, as well as other science considerations, have appeared in something that the State Department does on a quadrennial basis, a defense and diplomacy review that Tom Perriello, former congressman, has led. This year's report has a good bit of science and technology in it. Some of that came out of our collaboration as we prepared our report with Tom's people. So in every sense of the word, we feel the report has done a good job. We feel that it's been well received by the State Department. We look forward to their further implementations. And interestingly enough, the report carries an evaluation of how the Department of State carried out the last report, generally good marks and real improvement, and suggests that in another 5 years there be another look, whether it's a full formal report or an effort to take a look at key areas of science and technology in diplomacy. Nevertheless, we think this needs to be a continued factor. And the National Research Council of the Academy of Sciences, mm-hmm. which prepared the report, I think would be a good continuing resource. It has the ability to mobilize a very strong stable, if I could call it that. They're not, but in some ways they are, because they represent individuals of esteem and capacity, including my co-chairman, Professor Adil Mahmoud of Princeton, who is an extremely well-known scientific research worker in the health field and an old friend and a colleague. They all have much to continue to contribute.
All right. We'll talk to you before 5 years, that's for sure.
Okay.
Thomas Pickering is former Undersecretary of State, now Vice Chairman of Hills & Company. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom, very much. Great to be with you.